Welcome back to our program. It is Thursday. I'm Mark Bayshore. Last September, the federal government wrapped up a four-year investigation involving Michigan State University. It looked into how MSU handles complaints of sexual harassment and assault. The university had begun reforms before the final report. Still, the U.S. Department of Education's Office of Civil Rights last year cited MSU for non-compliant grievance procedures. It also said the school took too long to respond to reports of sexual assault and harassment. It suggested the result was a sexually hostile environment on campus for numerous students and staff. Now today, Michigan State's efforts to create a more responsive system and a safer campus continue. Our first two guests are in the thick of that effort. Both have just begun working at Michigan State. We welcome Andy Durajaye, the director of MSU's recently launched Office of Institutional Equity. Welcome to Current State.
Thank you for having me.
And Jessica Norris is Michigan State's new Title IX coordinator. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you for having me.
It's been a controversial few years here at MSU and many other schools as well regarding sexual assault and harassment and compliance with the OCR and Title IX. Talk to us, please, about your short list of priorities as you're both getting started in your new positions. Jessica, what about you? What's really top of mind here at the beginning for you?
Well, for me, top of mind is compliance and, working to ensure that all elements of our Title IX program are compliant with federal and state laws. Second of all, I would say is listening, understanding not just how that program can be compliant, but how we can best be meeting the needs of our students. So really understanding the concerns that are out there in the campus community and ways that we can enhance and improve our program.
Andy, what about you?
My number one things I want to do first is speeding up the process, so to speak. So finding a way that we can efficiently respond and investigate complaints of sexual assault and sexual harassment. That's the major thing. And I think the next thing is developing the Office of Institutional Equity so that we can serve the greater community, not only issues with Title IX and sexual assault and sexual violence, but all equity issues that arise here at Michigan State University.
Just for some perspective, we'll share with our listeners that in 2013, at least, there were 159 reports of sexual assaults on the state's public and private college campuses. That's the entire state of Michigan, but that represents a 62% increase from 2001. So life on campus appears to be changing, or at least these incidents are being reported an awful lot more often. We're led to believe that. Andy, you touched on the issue of responsiveness. This is arguably, I think, one of the most maybe the most serious ongoing criticism leveled at the university, responding sooner to complaints of harassment and assault. Jessica, let me ask you this. If your office receives allegations of an incident, how long do you have to respond with an investigative report?
It's 60 days under the OCR guidelines.
60 days under OCR. MSU has an even stricter standard than that, though. Do I have that right?
So the standard is still 60 days. And so one of the distinctions that people often don't understand is the 60-day response that OCR mentions is not only the investigation person, but it's the entire timeline of a case. So from the initial report all the way until the final resolution, so if it goes through an appeal or deals with student conduct. And so a lot of universities are in a difficult position in doing that and finding ways to respond within those time frames.
Well, I mean, we do routinely hear of investigations taking much longer than that. Is 60 days not enough time?
Well, you know, so my background working in OCR and knowing that at OCR we took longer than 60 days to actually investigate these complaints, I think it is difficult to respond in 60 days. Do I think it's impossible? No, I don't think it is. I think that, you know, we had the people in place currently here at the university where we can work to make sure that we are able to complete our investigations in the allotted time frames.
But would you argue with 100 days to respond to these things to fully adjudicate them?
So I would think that,
there would be an advantage to that.
Well, I think that 60 days for what we're being asked to do is very difficult. So I definitely could make an argument that 100 days would probably be a better time frame to things do. You know, the standards that OCR sets out is not only that the investigations need to be, you know, efficient and timely, but they also need to be thorough and equitable. And so in my opinion, you know, I've worked in doing investigations for quite some time. I think to do a thorough investigation based on the numbers that we're getting and based on the awareness that we're getting through the programs that Jessica's implementing and that are being implemented around the country, you know, more time would be a better thing to have, but we don't have it currently. And so we have to work with the guidelines that have been set for us.
It suggests perhaps a lack of resources, a lack of personnel. Would you say you could use more resources and more personnel, Jessica?
Well, I would say who couldn't use more resources and personnel? Certainly, that's a component of my role. And part of what I've been charged with doing is evaluating not just the resources on the investigation side, but also our resources supporting students through our advocacy and counseling programs, our prevention and education programs. So that will certainly be something I will be looking at and making recommendations on if we see that there is a high need.
But are both of you working on the assumption that the 60-day time frame is not going to change?
Yes, it will not change.
Okay. President Simon commented when the OCR's final report was released. She said, quote, "We have to work through how we take the time to do thorough investigations," suggesting a due process, the importance of due process, "yet maintain urgency and compassion by completing them as quickly as possible." How might the process that you're working with today be tightened up?
Well, I think some of the things that we have to do and we are doing currently is making sure we have our internal guidelines that are set. And I think prior to, we didn't have any sort of internal guidelines and timeframes. And so now what we've done in the office is we've set strict timeframes with which our investigators are supposed to complete certain portions of the investigation process. And I think having those in place and being able to, you know, hold them accountable and give them opportunity to do what they need to do with kind of clear bright line rules and bright line standards that we want to employ in the office has been really, really effective, and I think it'll be helpful going forward.
But what does that do to due process? To what extent does that jeopardize due process?
Well, I don't think it does, because in the timeframes we've built internally, we have due process built in it. So we have timeframes with which we need to talk to both parties, with which we need to talk to witnesses from both parties, with which we need to review evidence. So I don't think it affects due process. I think we're still going to be able to do what we need to do from a due diligence standpoint of talking to all the parties and all the relevant witnesses and doing a robust investigation within those timeframes.
Andy Durajaye is the director of MSU's recently launched Office of Institutional Equity. Jessica Norris is Michigan State's new Title IX coordinator. We're talking about MSU's ongoing efforts to be more responsive to situations involving sexual assault and harassment. And we'll get to other forms of discrimination before the conversation is through. Appeals mean delays. Is there a way to speed up the appeals process, streamline that in some way, again, without compromising due process?
Well, certainly those are things that we'll be looking at. Having been on campus for a week now, it's probably early for me to say exactly what opportunities there
might
be.
We are getting to you both pretty early in the game. And we appreciate your coming. You two are still getting to know each other, and we'll be clear about that.
But that is something that we're working closely with not only Andy's office and his team, but also with student conduct to track our timelines and see where our issues are with regard to timeliness and seeing if we can find ways to make the process more efficient. So certainly we'll be doing that, and it won't be a one-time exercise. This is something that is going to be part of our program going forward, that we're going to be looking for opportunities to continuously improve.
You've been at this a while in particular, Andy. I mean, are appeals an increasing part of the landscape here?
They are. So as awareness is raised around Title IX related issues, appeals are going to go up, because right now, you know, there are certain people who individually feel they're not being treated fairly in the process. And so every time we file a complaint, because of the notoriety it gets, there's going to be an equal amount of notoriety that goes to the appeal process and, you know, the rights of the respondent, so to speak. So I think that the trend is we will see more and more appeals as we see more and more allegations of sexual assault and sexual misconduct.
Andy and Jessica, you hear critics comment that universities generally are just not equipped to resolve or to basically adjudicate, for lack of a better word, these incidents. What do you make of criticism like that?
So what I would say historically, I would agree with that criticism historically from, you know, in past practice. But what I think, you know, universities like MSU and different universities around the country developing offices of institutional equity where they're able to focus specifically on these things, I think what we have in place, we're taking the right steps to better equip us to be able to handle these type of situations. So I think that the future is bright, and I think going forward, we will be able to handle these type of issues.
Let's talk about the role of law enforcement here. Jessica, could campuses use expanded access to law enforcement? Talk to us about the relationship between what goes on the campus and actual law enforcement.
Well, there is a strong connection between law enforcement and campus Title IX programs. And here at MSU, I would say we're on the forefront of that. There are strong working relationships with the police department. We have a special victims unit, which is staffed with detectives who are specially trained to investigate the sensitive sexual violence cases. We also have memorandums of understanding with local law enforcement agencies. And oftentimes, there are opportunities to share training resources and participate in programs and educational opportunities together and to incorporate local law enforcement and campus law enforcement in many of the meetings and the plans. So I would say that Michigan State is really well positioned in that regard, but that is a trend across the country that more and more universities are looking to build those relationships with local law enforcement to, you know, increase information sharing and share resources as well.
Is that underdeveloped right now, though? Is there a generally a productive relationship between what you're doing and local law enforcement, or does that need work?
Well, I would say I'm aware of the relationship with campus police, and I know that they're heavily involved in many of the meetings and committees. So I think that's very well developed. I'm still very new and haven't been involved in meetings with local law enforcement yet, having only been here a week. But if that's not developed, that's something that would be on my priority list.
And I would say I think it is developed. I've had an opportunity to sit in on a couple of meetings with local law enforcement. And so we've gone through, in conjunction with MSU PD, the Office of Institutional Equity, and different stakeholders around campus, doing training with local law enforcement and having conversations. So I think it's definitely a communication is present, and I think it's going to continue to grow as, you know, Jessica is able to get more things going here at the university.
There are differing views on the involvement of law enforcement here. Some say more of these incidents belong with the police, in part because there are critics who say that university punishments amount to a slap on the wrist too often. But some complainants say law enforcement aggravates the situation. Is that a tough tightrope to walk here?
I think it's definitely a tough tightrope to walk. I think, you know, what, you know, I guess the different sides don't always understand is the requirements the university are under Title IX, regardless of, you know, if they think that, you know, the university policy is a slap on the wrist, the law enforcement policy is too heavy-handed, we still have a duty to respond. And so we're going to have to respond regardless unless, you know, something changes with the law that I don't see changing in the foreseeable future.
The OIE has scheduled what you're calling a town meeting for the 28th. On your website, you call this a follow-up to recent events that have occurred at institutions of higher education across the country regarding discrimination and harassment. Which incidents are those, and tell us more about this town
meeting.
So,
you know, recently everyone knows about the big incidents that occurred at University of Missouri. We also know about the incidents occurred around at Yale University dealing with racial bias and racial discrimination. And so we've had some town halls here at the university where we're discussing the process of filing a discrimination complaint, the idea of what's the difference between discrimination and a bias incident. And so this town hall is just an opportunity to continue the dialogue with our various stakeholders on campus.
We would like to have you both back after you've been at this a while longer. You're at the, you know, as I said, you're in the thick of this this challenge. It's a big job. It's an important job. We appreciate your joining us here at the beginning of your tenures here, but we'd love to have you back, and we appreciate it very much. We want to thank Andy Durajaye, the director of MSU's recently launched Office of Institutional Equity, also Jessica Norris, who is Michigan State's new Title IX coordinator. Thanks to both of you, and good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.